Culture File is travelling the world's Christmases this week, and tonight we land with restaurateur and regular gastributor Giorgio Cassari to find out about a few meat-free special dishes that will be ending up on some lucky Italian tables this holiday season, as well as introducing us to a very special Christmas condiment.
A Natale puoi fare quello che non puoi fare mai.
When I was told about the topic, a meatless rock vegetarian Christmas menu, I thought, oh wow, you can have vegetarian food, you know, salads, risotto, but Christmas Day has to be special, or Christmas Eve has to be something special. How to recreate the flavors that we are familiar, that we associate with Christmas time, without meat? So I saw, I had a moment of panic. I was actually in Pisce when I got the call. And I said to Stephen Gibson, who's the chef patron, and Gronio was beside him, she's the head chef. So I said, guys, I have some challenge here to create a Christmas menu meatless. How do I recreate the flavor of pancetta or turkey or chicken or fowl or games? And then we started to talk. We don't really need to recreate the flavors of the meat, but we can have everything else that is associated with the cooking of the meat. And all of a sudden, it became an exciting moment, because all of a sudden, the three of us, it was like a think tank, improvise, there and there in the kitchen. And we all started to, oh, how about this? How about that? It was so exciting that I had to stop after half an hour. I said, guys, stop, because I already had five or six menus. I couldn't remember what was the first recipe. It was incredible. So where to start from? It has to be, you know, being Italian, I didn't want just to create a menu with the usual stereotype. I've got a risotto, I've got a gnocchi, I've got this, I've got that. No. But unfortunately, one of the most famous associated with Christmas in the northern Italy, it's made with pasta. But it's okay, it's just an outside of pasta. It's one of the few dishes that is never taken off outside of Italy, because even in Italy, it can be very, very badly done. It's simple, yet it's not that simple. It's tortelli di zucca e mostarda. It's a dish from Mantova only, literally from Mantova, which is between Milan and Verona. And it's pumpkin tortelli. Tortelli is a little bit bigger than tortellini. In fact, a lot bigger. Now, one ingredient which we can't recreate and we cannot find in Ireland yet, unfortunately, is the mostarda. And mostarda is spicy fruit. It's basically fruit cooked in a secret mixture of mustard seeds and wine and vinegar and sherry and different herbs. But it's quite complicated. No one really does it in Italy. You buy it. It's a product that is only made once a year, sold for a couple of months, November, December, then goes in a sale in January. It's bizarre. It was a secret. You know, even with the globalization of the food industry in the world, it's still mostarda and Duja from Calabria. They were still very, very regional. Although Duja had an explosion in the last 2 years, chefs in New York, chefs in London, and even some of the chefs here in Dublin are starting to use it. But it was a little secret. Mostarda still, people don't really know how to eat it outside of Italy. And even in the south of Italy, they don't even know what it is. And now some of the best delicatessen, like Peck in Milano, they have these massive jars. They could cost 300 or 500 euro. Big jars with all the fruit shaped around. And also well, it's not a liquid. The concentrated sugar and wine and mustard seeds, it's like very, very, very sticky. If you put it on your hands, you'll have to wash your hands after a while because it's sticky everywhere. So it's nice that it's so difficult to do, difficult to serve, and still it hasn't been globalized. And I hope it stays, we hope it stays that way, obviously, I do. Otherwise, it won't be a craft product anymore. It'll become an industrial product.
Vieni in una grotta, la fredda la
mostarda. We cannot find it here, so I have a substitute for that. Basically, we have, for example, for three or four people, we have 750 grams of pumpkin and we have 160 grams of amaretto biscuits. So the proportion is a quarter of, or a little bit less, of amaretto biscuits to a pumpkin. The pumpkin is obviously has to be clean, take the seeds out, then you slice it and you bake it in the oven. There's no need to season it before. We just want to make it softer. So about 20 minutes in a hot oven. Crumb the amaretto biscuits with your fingers in a bowl. That's very simple. Add a generous teaspoon of Dijon mustard. And that's where the substitute for the spicy mostarda fruit comes in. That's the closest I could think of and has to be Dijon mustard. And 150 grams of freshly grated Parmesan cheese and obviously salt and pepper and, more importantly, nutmeg. And nutmeg here is very, very important. Then you add the pulp of the pumpkin, which had cooked in the oven, cool it down and you mash it. But one secret with the pumpkin is to let it cool in the oven. So you cook it for 20 minutes, you turn the knob off, but you leave it in the oven to cool down because it cools naturally and it doesn't release the water later on when you're cooking with it. Basically, this is the filling of the pasta. This is to be covered with a cling film and let it to rest in the fridge for 24 hours. So the next day, let's presume it's Christmas morning, you do the pasta, and then this is the filling of your pasta. And the pasta, we just want to boil it, and then when it's cooked, we just put it straight into the serving plate, individual serving plate, and you have a pan with sizzling butter and sage and absolutely nothing else.
Yum. Giorgio Cassari there. And remember, if you do spot a jar of mostarda somewhere on the island, please do tweet us a photo at culturefilepod. And tomorrow we're heading down Mexico way to try some special Christmas punches with the Mexican ambassador, Carlos Garcia de Alba.